Well, the whistleblower site WikiLeaks.org released more than 90,000 records of incidents and intelligence reports yesterday that show that Pakistan's spy agency, the ISI, is complicit in attacks against United States troops fighting in Afghanistan. The website leaked that information to our partner, the New York Times, along with German magazine Der Spiegel and The Guardian out of the UK. Joining us is Richard Oppel, New York Times correspondent in Kabul. Hello, Richard.
Yeah, hello. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Have you gotten an official response from your side there, from the Karzai administration in Kabul, about these 92,000 pages of documents that we're reading about this morning?
Yes, and it was an interesting response. While most of the attention about the documents has been focused on complicity by Pakistan's spy agency in cooperating with the Taliban, the documents did criticize the Afghan government, the Afghan police and security forces, and lots of indications of incompetence and lack of loyalty and that sort of thing. Yet today, the spokesman for President Karzai took a different tack in describing Karzai's response to the documents. He focused on two things: the civilian casualties caused by NATO and American forces, and also the complicity of the Pakistani spy agency in helping the Afghan Taliban. Basically, what the spokesman said was that we think the documents mainly are about these two things, and these are the two things we've been raising as serious issues for a very long time. And so he really didn't address the criticism of the Afghan government or the Karzai government. And explicitly, I asked him after the press conference, does the president think there's anything unfair in the documents or anything that angered the president? And he said no.
No. Well, it's interesting that the documents are so broad at 92,000 pages that people with an agenda, and certainly everybody in that theater has an agenda, can pick and choose the parts of it that they want to spin and say are the most important.
Yeah, no, that's right. There's plenty, a very great deal of material here for everyone to choose from.
Well, let me ask you about one part of it that you brought up, civilian casualties. One interesting thing in the documents here that hasn't gotten a lot of coverage yet this morning is the revelation of a capture kill list of about 70 top insurgent commanders. Some of these missions are described as successful. Some of them are described as having gone horribly wrong with things like civilian casualties. What do we know about this capture kill list?
Well, it's a secret unit called Task Force 373 that is a group of special operators. We don't know what unit specifically they're drawn from, but probably very highly trained elite groups like the Navy SEALs or Army's Delta Force, and they carry out efforts to kill or capture senior Taliban members around the country. But as you point out, you're absolutely right. Those have gone horribly wrong in some cases. Police have been killed. Children have been killed. And that's a huge issue here in Afghanistan, where civilian casualties, can really destroy any kind of goodwill or counterinsurgency success in an area against the coalition.
And is there any way to grade from these documents out of the 70 insurgents on the capture kill list what kind of success rate we're having?
Well, I don't think there's any way to truly know that. I mean, the military often talks about senior Taliban commanders that they've killed. If you believe what they say, there have been dozens and dozens of senior Taliban commanders who've been taken out in Kandahar this year by these special units in advance of an offensive or military operations there. But yet Kandahar throughout the course of the year has just gotten deadlier and deadlier in Taliban influence and intimidation. If anything, had seemed to increase there. So it kind of makes you question just how effective killing or capturing of these Taliban
is. Targeted killings or captures, yeah. Richard Oppel for the New York Times in Kabul. There's another story that's been brewing there that hasn't gotten as much attention today because of the revelations in your paper and the two European papers about these WikiLeaks documents, and that's the apparent capture of two American personnel by the Taliban there in Afghanistan. What's the latest on that story?
Well, the latest is the Taliban has said that one of the two sailors was killed in the ambush in Logar Province, which is about 60 miles south of Kabul.
So these
part of Logar Province.
These are two Navy personnel.
Two Navy sailors. That's right.
Okay.
what the Taliban spokesman has said, that one died in the ambush, that there was a firefight, a brief firefight, when they captured the two guys, and one of them died from his wounds. The spokesman for the provincial governor has also said the same thing, that that's the information they've gotten. But the Taliban says that they are trying to figure out what to do with the sailor who remains alive, and they're consulting with their leadership to figure out what step to take next.
Have they broadcast any proof, video or otherwise, that they actually do have this American sailor?
None that I'm aware of, not yet. I mean, we do know that leaflets seeking help in the return of these two sailors were circulated Saturday in Logar, and there was a huge manhunt underway involving both Afghan and NATO and American forces. But there's been no proof that I'm aware of, no kind of physical forensic proof by the Taliban that they have them.
And that manhunt continues today, I would imagine.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. Well, Richard Oppel from our partner in the New York Times in Kabul, bringing us up to speed on the release of 92,000 pages of classified documents through the website WikiLeaks.org, and also the disappearance of two American sailors in Afghanistan, apparently one of them dead, and yet we're awaiting confirmation on whether the Taliban actually have those personnel, or at least one of them. Richard Oppel, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks very much.
There's more about this story at our website. We've got details from Anand Gopal, the Afghanistan-based reporter for the Christian Science Monitor. And we want to turn it over to you. When you hear news about these tens of thousands of leaked documents, does it change your view of the fight of the war in the region? How do you think it should change our policy there, if at all? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, keeping in mind that according to the White House, these documents were submitted during the previous policy.
Right.
In other words, prior to the Obama administration policy change.
Announcing their change and saying none of this is really new. The White House saying there's nothing to see here, and yet also no proof that the ISI's alleged direct help of our enemies has stopped since we announced the surge. There's no evidence that it's
right,
stopped.
But all the analysis so far have agreed that there's not really anything new here that people in the top levels didn't already know.
Right. Well,
but we want to get your change anyway. Has it changed your mind? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can also get a head start whenever you want to on the next day's show. Send the word start by text to 69866, and we'll give you the topics we're covering for the next day. Give you a chance to weigh in. That's start to 69866. I'm Celeste Headley.
And I'm Todd Zwillikin for John Hockenberry. He's back tomorrow. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.